right. Very, very good. Thank you, young adults. I appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. We'll read that, and then we'll skip down to verse 6 as I speak this morning on building a struggling faith. Now, tonight at 6 o'clock, I'll be preaching on the purity and the preservation of the Bible. The purity and the preservation of the Bible. You'll want to be here tonight for that 6 o'clock. Our Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Look at verse 3. Through faith. Now they have faith. What did they do? Through faith. The Bible says through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, it says, by the word of God, so that things which are seen, it says, were not made of the things which do appear. So they believed the Bible when it came to the understanding of creation. They understood that God is the one that breathed all that is into existence. Now, because of that, and because God did do all that he said he did do, we understand this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." As I speak this morning on building a struggling faith, from time to time your faith may struggle. From time to time you may have at one time, and we'll cover this towards the end of the message, you may have a great faith at one time where you just believe God and boy, you're strong in your faith and you stand up and you go forward to accomplish great things for God, walking in obedience to him by faith. But there may be some times in your life when your faith kind of dwanes. It kind of, if you would please, is not as strong as what it ought to be. And some of those times it's because you go through diverse circumstances. But can I tell you, God always wants you to be building your faith. It's almost compared to those that lift weights, if you will. You know, when you first start, maybe as a young person lifting weights and your muscles are not as strong as maybe you want them to be. When you start to try to lift the heavy weights, it's very difficult. Very difficult. But as you build your body in that particular area, and the weights, if you would please, low difficult, build your muscles, it's easier then to lift that which is a weight that was heavier in the beginning, now becomes light towards the end. Why? Because you have built your muscle. So is it now that God wants you to build your faith. That is your responsibility, to build your faith. Sometimes we think this, that, okay, God's given me the element of faith, and he has. The Bible talks about how he's given to every man a measure of faith. But it becomes your responsibility as a believer to build your faith. That is your responsibility. Now, you know, just like a baby has a responsibility, of course, to be able to take the food that mom or dad is feeding or a grandparent is feeding that baby, they have the responsibility to take it and be able to consume it. And then later on, as a young person has the responsibility to be able to take food in and to be able to nourish their family and to be able to grow. And then as a young adult, they have responsibility. Of course, mom and dad not taking care of them anymore. They're taking care of themselves. They're going out. They're buying food. They're bringing it back. They're preparing it. They're eating it. They have that responsibility. There's times in your life when you need to be spoon-fed. As a baby in Christ, you may desire sincerely that which is the milk of the word, but in order to be able to receive other that which is the word of God, sometimes somebody has to explain it to you. You've never been there before. You never understood it before. You've never seen it before. You've never read it before. And so God brings people in your life to be able to help you to grow. Might be through way of a godly mentor. It might be through way of attending a discipleship program. It might be through that which is attending a Sunday school class. It might be through attending a preaching service where you hear a man of God gets up and he begins to expound and teach and preach the scriptures, okay? But needless to say, you go through phases in your life and growing up physically, just like you go through phases in your life and growing spiritually. Don't ever get so hard on yourself that you give up. where you say, well, I tell you what, preacher, I'm just not growing anymore. Growth is that which is a desire fulfilled in your life. You can always grow if you want to. You can always grow if you want to. We tell people in our church, don't take on so many ministries that you fail to come to preaching services or that you fail to go to a Sunday school class where you're going to be fed. You need continual feeding. And you ought to get that as in many places as you possibly can to be able to get fed so that you can grow. The minute you stop being fed is the minute that you become weaker. Weaker. And when you become weaker, you become less productive. Come on now, you think about this. When you're sick, when you're not feeling good, and you don't eat, and you don't get the nutrition that you need, then what happens? It's a downhill slope. So even when you're not feeling good, may I say, even when you're backslidden and you're not feeling good, the best place for you to be, my dear friends, in church. That's the best place to be. You say, well, I feel away from God. Then you need to be closer to God, and you need to get in church more. Yeah, you know, I was always raised this way after I became a believer, that every time the doors were open, guess what? I was there. You know why? Because I wanted to grow as much as I could. I wanted to grow as much as I could. Now, what did that mean? Well, now, that didn't mean I didn't know how to feed myself. I knew how to feed myself. But wait a minute. I liked it when other people fed me, too. Come on. Well, I like my wife's cooking. I do. My wife's got a good hand in it. She knows how to cook. Evidence of the fact is the body which you have before you. Oh, she's a good cook. But can I tell you something? We like to go out to eat too. Oh, yeah. We like to go to fast food restaurants. Sure we do. Oh, but we like to go to the sit-down restaurants. Sure we do. We like to go to the buffet restaurants. How come you identified with that more than anything else? But we like to go to the buffet restaurants. Yes, we do. And from time to time, we'll go to a upper crust, a very nice, prestigious restaurant where you walk in, and just by walking in, you feel like you're somebody. Hello. And then after you get the bill for the meal that you just consumed, you wish you were nobody. But we understand, you know, and boy, you know, we enjoy good food. Ooh, do we enjoy good food, you know? And sometimes we cook it ourselves, and sometimes we go out and let somebody else cook it. But I'm going to tell you, in both incidences or many incidences, we eat. And because we eat, we remain healthy. Because we eat, we grow in our stature. Because we eat, we're able to survive. Because we eat, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, you listen to me. Because we're eating, we're able to be able to produce. We're able to have energy to go forward. Now, pray tell me, why can't the Christian understand that when it comes to spiritual food? Some people think this, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to church Sunday morning, one day a week, that's it. And I will become the super Christian. No, you're lacking. You're lacking. Especially if you don't even read your Bible during the week. You're lacking. Especially if you don't walk with God during the week. You're lacking. Okay? The more that you get fed, the more it grows you. Now, you're supposed to be growing as a Christian. You're supposed to have that sincere desire for the Word of God and allow that Word of God to be able to grow you. Now, let's notice some things. How is it that we can grow our faith? What is it that we need to consider about our faith? Statement number one, if you will. Our faith affects our entire lives. Our faith affects our entire lives. You know that what you take in will be what you consume. What you consume is now a part of you, whether that is talking about food or whether that is talking about spiritual growth when it comes to feeding on that which is the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. One thing I enjoyed about Richard Houston, the man that we talked about and prayed for his family just a little bit ago, was the fact that he had a strong faith. He talked about the Lord. He lived for the Lord. He tried to go forward to serve the Lord. And, you know, one of the reasons is people is going to miss him at the police department down at the police station here in Mesquite is he was more than just a personality. He was a walking example of faith. Now, because of that, there's an absence there. Can I say this? Can I say, I wonder who's going to miss us when we go home to be with the Lord? I wonder what's going to happen when we take our last breath. Are they going to miss you just because of your personality? Are they going to miss you just because of the amount of money you have in the bank? Are they going to miss you just because of the fact that you were able to cook a good physical meal? Are they going to miss your faith? They're going to miss that which you have in living for God. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. The Bible says, and we walk by faith, not by sight. God expects the Christian to walk by faith. He expects us to do that. The Bible says, listen to it over in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. The disciples disappointed Christ. Why did they disappoint Christ? They disappointed Christ because they were not living the way that he told them to live and putting their trust and obeying him in every aspect in which he was expecting them to obey. Can I tell you, you need a working faith. You need a faith that works for you. That faith that you need to have in your life will affect your entire life. It affects your life when you go to the doctor. It affects your life when you go to the dentist. It affects your life when you go down to the bank and try and take out a new loan for your house or to be able to get a house. Can I tell you, it will affect that which you do when you're driving down the street, when you're going on vacation. Your faith affects everything about you. It affects the way that you behave yourself in society. Now, I'm saying this. So God says that faith that we have, it does affect the way that we think. It affects the way that we go. All right, so statement number one, by faith, okay? Our faith affects our entire lives. Statement number two, our faith, if you will encounter many obstacles. Our faith is going to encounter many obstacles. You're going to have obstacles to faith. You're going to have things that come up that challenge your faith. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about some guy that's an agnostic or a pretend agnostic or a pretend atheist that comes up and he says, now, wait a minute. He says, let me challenge your faith. I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm talking about in everyday day-to-day living, your faith can be challenged. Your faith can be challenged, dear friend, while sitting in a stoplight. Your faith can be challenged while eating a hamburger. Your faith can be challenged, if you would, as you and your spouse has a dispute. Your faith can be challenged by your neighbor that plays music that you don't care for. Your faith can be challenged by the neighbor's dog getting into your trash. Oh, you say, not so. Then why are you so mad when it happens? See, your faith can be challenged in many different ways. You notice, if you will, in the scriptures, David had his faith challenged over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. The Bible says this. Then said David, it says, to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. All right. So David said this, talking to the giant. Now, the giant was somebody that's going to come into his life. And the giant, if you would please, is going to be somebody that is going to help him to see how his faith is. Remember Saul. Saul said, look, now you go ahead, you fight that giant, you can do that, but put on my armor. He tried on Saul's armor. It didn't work. He went and he faced the giant with what he knew that God had used before in his life. And isn't it amazing what God does in our lives with our faith? Oftentimes, you have the answer inside of your house. You remember the widow woman that lost all that she had, and she goes over to Elisha, and she says, thou knew my husband, and that he was a prophet, or he was a man of God, and they had good relationships, or at least knew each other, Elisha and this young prophet, if you will. But he died, and when he died, left the woman nothing. I mean, she had no inheritance. And so now, according to the scriptures, what happened is they sold all their possessions, had nothing left, and now the people come to take away the two sons to be bondsmen, to be able to serve off their indebtedness. And she goes to the man of God, and she says to the man of God, we have nothing but this and that, just a little bit. And he said this. He said, well, I'll tell you what is in your house? What is in your house? He's trying to get her to think, you know, that is important, what you've got in your house, because God uses what you have in your house, my dear friend, to be able to meet the needs that you have in your present life. And you ought to have faith inside of your house. You ought to have enough faith to trust God. Yes, trust God during the times of little challenges. And yes, trust God during the times of the moderate challenges and the big challenges. But you ought to be able to trust God when there's no challenges at all. We ought to be able to walk with Him and talk with Him and spend time with Him and love Him and spend time, if you will, being able to communicate with Him. Why? Because He's the God that still answers prayer. He's the God that still comes through. But can I tell you, my dear beloved friend, He's the God that cares about you. May I say, David understood that in facing the giant. What about Hezekiah? Hezekiah, the Bible says, was sick unto death. You notice something about Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 2. The Bible says, and he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord. Say, so what did he do? He turned his face away from the people. He's not trusting the people now. He's nigh unto death. He's going to die. Now the prophet came by and said, you're going to die. Wait a minute. So he turned his face to that which was the wall, and he cries unto the Lord. Sometimes it's only the Lord that can answer. You can't figure everything out all by yourself. There comes to times in your life where you got to turn to God and say, God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm in an awful fix. And God, I pray that you'd help me. Sometimes you've got to stop relying on you. Oh, I know you're good. I know you can handle a multitude of problems. But if you ever get to a point and to a place, my dear friend, where you don't have the ability to handle the problem, then you must turn to God. But why do we wait until we must turn to God? Here's what we understand. Here he is at a must time in his life. The Bible talks about how he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord, saying, he said, I beseech thee. We're in 2 Kings 20 and 3. He said, I beseech thee, O Lord. He says, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth. It says, with a perfect heart, and have done, it says, that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. He goes to God and he says, remember? Remember? Now, to me, that testifies. You know, God did extend his life. If you remember the scriptures, he extended his life 15 years, gave him 15 more years. Why was that? Here's a connection here. He goes to God and he says to God, God, remember? Remember how I walked with you? Remember how I pleased you? You know, I think that your living for God has a lot to do with the way that God answers your prayers. Hello? Oh, watch this, if you will. Stand up, if you will. So here's a good neighbor. He good Christian fella, and he comes to church all the time. 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 Reads his Bible. Prays. Tries to serve God. Passes out gospel literature. He tries to help people. He tries to, all right, and stand up, please. And here's another fella. And they look about the same. They bring their Bibles to church on Sunday, but they live differently during the week. Everybody has an opportunity to do the same thing, but they live differently during the week. Now stay with my logic here. They live differently during the week. Then all of a sudden, both of them getting a fix. Both of them now has a disease that's nigh unto death. He has substance to be able to say, God, remember? Remember, I went to church on Sunday morning. Hey, I was in my place in church on Sunday night. I was there Wednesday night. Hey, God, I just want you to remember, in the scriptures is where I am every day of my life. I want you to remember I've got a burden for souls, and I've led people to Christ, and I've talked about you everywhere I went. And this poor fellow, it's not that way. He says, God, remember, I went to church once a month. I went to church when I felt like it. He doesn't have much to say, remember. Now, I'm not saying God answers prayer only if you do things for him, but I am saying Hezekiah brought things to his remembrance. Now, would it not be good, thank you, gentlemen, would it not be good if we could bring some things to his remembrance? Would it not be good? We speak about the other day, some girls was treated by my wife. My wife took some of her class that's in the college. She teaches in the college, and she took them down to Starbucks, treat them to a coffee or whatever they wanted. And they came to the front reception center out there, and the college girls and my wife held up their drinks. And I said, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. So they come walking in. I interrupted. I don't know who I was talking to at the time, but I interrupted our talk of Brother Walters with his staff meeting that he has with me every week. And I interrupted Brother Walters, and I said, this is important. Come here, girls, come here, come here. And they stood up over there. I said, let me get a picture. This is a memory. We like creating memories. And by the way, the older we get, the more we try to remember, to create a memory. You are blessed because you are in a church where you have some of the most outstanding preachers in America that come behind this pulpit. I always have good intentions. I always have good intentions. My good intentions are sometime while you're here, we're going to get a picture. And then after they boarded the plane and landed and are walking up their driveway to go in the front door of their house, I remembered. I wanted to get a picture. And I'm terrible at remembering the pictures. But every time and again, I get proud of myself. And I remember to get a picture. And I think that's a Polaroid camera opportunity. For those of you that don't know what that is, ask your grandparents. But I think this is a wonderful opportunity to take a picture and to be able to remember. Hello? You know, creating those memories, why not create some memories of prayer? Why not create some memories of serving God? God, I just want you to remember what I did for you this week. God, I want you to remember how I served you this week. God, remember, remember. Remember, God, how I went out and I gave a gospel card out. I gave a gospel track out. God, just want you to remember. And for some reason, God allows that to be in the scriptures. Perhaps to remind us that we ought to be creating some memories with God. Some things that we've done. God, remember I went out on Saturday and I tried to get folks to come. God, remember I took time to be able to study the scriptures and try to learn some things to become a better Christian. God, remember. Now, I'm saying this. That's what Hezekiah did. I'm saying that our faith encounters many obstacles, but should encourage us to keep going for him. Remember the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho was all tied up. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, and it came to pass, it says, to make long blasts of the ram's horns. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet and all the people shout with a shout, the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend every man straight, it says, before him. All right, now wait a minute. And so what was supposed to be done there? Well, Joshua was supposed to remind them, we're going to walk around this city, and you're not supposed to say a word. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. He's just shut up. Don't say a word. And sometimes when problems come your way, it's not time to scream out. It's not time to get on your Facebook and tell all your buddies and cronies. It's not time to do that. But it's time to get alone with God, as Hezekiah did, and he turned his back towards the people, and he turned his face towards the wall, and he cried out to God. It's time to practice what Joshua told the people, and just don't say a word. Just walk in obedience. Just walk in obedience. Just walk in obedience, and I'll bring down the wall. Sometimes it's not trying to be able to take and say, oh, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Oh, please pray for me. Just pray for me. Sometimes it's just good for you to pray. Sometimes it's just good for you to, you know, sometimes, can I tell you about making memories with God? Can I tell you this? You ought to have a journal or something where you would write in that, God, this is what you did for me on this day, and boy, it was special. Thank you. And I don't want to forget it. And just write it down about what good things God has done for you. Now, neighbor, you listen to me. You're here today. That's a good thing. You're able to get up and walk. You're able to talk. You're able to smile. You sang the praises of God just a few moments ago. That's good. You can thank God for that. You've got things that you can say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, God, thank you, what you did for me. Amen. I'm saying this, you ought to practice making some memories with God. You'll see that, of course, with the giant and David. You'll see it with Hezekiah and his faith. You see it in the city of Jericho as the city of Jericho's walls came tumbling down simply because they obeyed. All those kiddos are going to walk around later on saying, Daddy, tell me that story again. Grandpa, tell me that story again. What did God do? Wow. Mom, did you hear what he said? And you know what happens? It builds faith. Here it is. You think about this. What about a mountain? Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, it says, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done, it says, to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. So, wait a minute, you mean that God could be able to build your faith so that you could do something great? Yeah, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Today there's a great emphasis on that which is church attendance. People are growing up in our society without God, and they're not seeking God. And we have young generations that are coming up saying, I can handle it, I'm good. And because, you know, they know a little bit about the computer, and because they can get on Google and they can find this, that, and the other, they think that they're smarter than God sometimes, but they're not. May I say, sometimes your faith encounters obstacles. Sometimes there's human reasoning that comes in. People will humanly reason God out of that which is their life. Sometimes people want to live by sight, not by faith. If I can see it, almost like doubting Thomas, I've got to see it. If I can see it, I'll believe it. But if I can't see it, won't believe it. My dear friend, you got it backwards. You have to believe to see. By believing, God shows you. Come on. And child rearing. You know, you find somebody, can I use you again? You don't mind, do you? And you find, come here, David. You find somebody. Go stand beside him, please. Okay, come here. You find that he's done a good job in rearing. We're going to say that David's his son. Now he's not. And he thanks God that David's not his son. But we're going to say that David is his son. And I have a son. And so I watch how he trains his son, and I watch how his son, and by the way, he's got good sons. His sons love the Lord, and I thank God for that. And they're leaders, and I thank God for that. But watch this, if you will. Okay, I watched, you know, how he trains his son and stuff like that. And I said, you know, I like my boy to turn out. I like my boy to do something. And so I use him as an example. And I say, and I get with them sometime. I don't let my son hear it, but I get to say, well, you know, my son is your son is, and my son is, you know, and so you've done, and he's a and good job, but my son, I'm not sure yet. And so can you give me some instructions? Now, what do? I get wisdom. I get wisdom. And he says, well, you know, I took my son out. We went visiting together, and he got to see the world without tasting the fruit of the world. You know, he got to see the end result of alcohol, the end result of drugs, the end result of sex outside of marriage, the end result of without having to go through that sin. And I said, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. What's this soul-winning thing? What is this visitation thing? He tells me about it, and I say, guess what? We're going to do this coming week. Yes, 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 that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it, you know. And we go out, we don't have a clue what we're doing. We just show up. Come on, we just show up. He says, well, yeah, I came to church all the time, and my kid, he began to absorb the Word of God. He got more of the Word of God in him. I said, ooh, that's good, that's good. You know what we're doing? Sunday night, we're going to, you know what we're going to do? Sunday night, we're going to go to church. We're going to go to church. He catches on pretty good. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. And so what am I doing? I'm looking at success. And I say, if that's what you did to help your child become a young adult now that's married, now his boys is, David's not, but to become a young adult that's married and you know, they're living for God, man, you must have did something right. Come on. If eating Wheaties builds your muscles, give me the Wheaties. Hey, I don't have to be all that smart to figure it out. So I get some wisdom. Thank you, be seated. Thank you, be seated. Watch this if you will. So here's what we see. Sometimes we only go by the sight. And if the sight is good, that's good. But if the sight is not good, it's not healthy for you. What you put before you, come on. You've got to be careful what you put before. I tell people often, you know, you probably need to take a break of watching the news. Negative, 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 negative. Slap, 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 kick, kick. Yeah, sometimes you just got to get away from the junk and say, I think I'm just going to enjoy today. I think I'm just going to walk with God today and just have a good time. Hello? But sometimes you'll see that there's the obstacles that we encounter. Human reasoning. Sometimes people just living by sight, not by faith at all. Sometimes people just live by their feelings. Oh, I get so tired of hearing people use terminologies on, I feel. I feel. Somebody asked me the other day, how come, preacher, that you growing up in the home that you did, how come you never got bitter against your parents? I said, because back then, we weren't taught to be bitter. Life was life, and you lived it, and you loved God, and you just tried to serve God the best that you could when you got saved. But we were never taught that, well, you need to get mad at somebody. We just live life. But today, everybody's wrapped up in their feelings. Well, I feel this, and I feel that, you know. Because I don't feel like my husband loves me anymore, I'm going to leave him. Well, because I don't feel like I fit in at this job, I'm going to quit. Because I don't feel like we should live in this neighborhood anymore, we're going to move. Because I don't feel like getting out of bed, I think I'll sleep till noon. Hello? And everybody's so wrapped up in their feelings that they forget there needs to be some character in there somewhere where you just do right because right is right regardless of how you feel. But sometimes there's negative counsel. Not all counsel is good counsel. Sometimes there's that which is neglecting the Word of God. We're talking about reasons why we encounter those obstacles and what some of those obstacles are. Sometimes there's sin. Sometimes there's Satan's tactics. Let me give you this, and I'm almost done. Statement number 3, our faith can be developed. Our faith can be developed. I said this, our faith affects our entire lives. I said this, that our faith encounters many obstacles. Statement number three, our faith can be developed. Listen to it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to come to him, and I am supposed to be desirous to be able to develop my faith. Why? Because God says without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if I want to please him, I've got to build my faith. I've got to build my faith. My faith helps me to trust him more. Hello? Come on, I'm using Brother Butler all morning in the morning. So Brother Butler represents God, and God says, go do this. And that's all he says. He just says, go do this.
Go do this.
I don't feel like it. Hello? That's the society we live in. God says, obey.
Obey.
I don't feel like it. That's the society we live in.
Right.
Evidence of the fact, watch this. God says, go to church.
Go to church.
I don't feel like it. Ready? God says, pray.
Pray.
I don't feel like it. God says, obey your parents.
Obey your parents.
I don't love my parents. No. And it's all about the feeling. The feeling. And then that transfers over. Your relationship with God transfers over to your relationship with others.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, Dad says, go clean your room.
I'm Dad now?
You're Dad now.
Go clean your room.
I don't feel like it. See, my role is easy. I don't feel like it. You see what I'm saying? And it transfers down. Preacher gets up and says, this is what the Bible says. And a Christian sits there and is like, well, I don't feel like doing what the Bible says. You see what I'm saying? Watch, here it is. Thank you. Be seated. And now, statement number last is this. Our faith grows in stages. You're not going to live on the mountain of faith all the time. There's several stages of faith in your Bible. I'll give you five of them, and I'll close. Statement number one, there's a time of no faith. I hit this once a year. Mark chapter 4 and verse 40, the Bible says, and he said unto them, the Bible says, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Now he's talking to the disciples. There was a time in the disciples' life where they had no faith. Still talking to the disciples in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. It says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Still talking to the disciples. There was a time when the disciples had no faith. Then there was a time when the disciples had little faith. Listen to it. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. The Bible says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So there was a time when they asked for more faith. More faith. Now, these are the ones that walked beside him, slept beside the word of God by the fire, saw miracle after miracle after miracle. There was a time when they had no faith, little faith, and asked for more faith. Now, here's a soldier. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, the Bible says, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said, it says to them that followed, verily I say unto you, it says, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Here's a soldier, never saw a miracle. Did not travel with Christ. Did not sleep beside the fire of the Word of God. But he had great faith. Listen to it and I'm done. There's full faith. This is a deacon. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. A deacon. Now, can I tell you this? Your faith can go from no faith to great faith in relatively a short amount of time. And your faith can go from a full faith to no faith relatively in a short amount of time. Faith is like sugar. You ever see somebody that they take sugar? You ever see them? Here's what they do. They're walking around, they're mild, they're sleepy, they're having trouble staying awake. All of a sudden, Mom says, let me give you a teaspoon of sugar. It's like coffee with extra espresso. When you get faith put into you, okay, or it's like a high protein bar. Let's get healthy. High protein bar. Let's get more healthy. It's carrot juice with apples in it. Let's get more healthy. It's eating a bushel of apples or oranges or mixed. But what I'm saying is, when you take faith in, it energizes you. It energizes you. When you get around somebody that's living by faith, it influences you. And see, you don't always have to be that person that's struggling with your faith. Hello? Brother Bell does running. Denton Bell. Not Lloyd Bell. Denton Bell, the younger Bell. He runs. Now, wait a minute. He runs almost every, if not every day. He runs these marathons and stuff like that. I'm waiting for him to run the triathlon. But he does these marathons. Now, wait a minute. You know, when I get around him and he says, hey, preacher, I ran a mile today for just a little bit, I get energized. And I think, yes, I like to do that. Then I come to my senses and say, no. I don't want to die of a heart attack. But there's influence. So what if you got around a godly dad? Influence. Got around a godly Sunday school teacher? More influence. Got around a preacher? More influence. Got around a Christian friend? More influence. Got around more. You see it? The more you can surround yourself with good, godly, Christian influence, the more also it'll help your faith. I pray that God will help you to build your faith so that when struggling times come, you're able simply to take a step over them. Not let them step on you. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come and open a Bible and learn and grow. And God, I pray that you'd help us, please. Help us to learn what we need to do to build a struggling faith. May it be so that we take these things to heart. May it be so that we put these things in our lives. And dear Father, we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.